You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Our focus today, New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Five members who each serve four-year staggered terms. This year, three seats are open. Jonathan Barfield is the only incumbent running for re-election. Since his election to the board in 2008, he has served as chairman four times and vice chairman thrice. He's lived in New Hanover County almost all of his life. As a licensed realtor, he owns Barfield & Associates Realty, LLC, and is a past president of the Wilmington Regional Association of Realtors. His community involvement includes the Blue Ribbon Commission on the Prevention of Youth Violence, the boards of the Children's Museum and Cape Fear Habitat for Humanity. He is also a former chairman of the Affordable Housing Coalition of Southeastern North Carolina. He was a member of the North Carolina Sheriff's Education and Training Standards Commission, and he served on the New Hanover Regional Medical Center Board for 4 years. He is a past chair of the Department of Social Services Board. Jonathan Barfield is also associate pastor of Sanctuary of Wilmington. Jonathan Barfield, welcome to Coastline.
Glad to be with you, Rachel.
You are finishing your third term, hoping to serve a fourth. Can you talk about how the board's dynamic has changed over the years? In the last term, I think it's fair to say that observers have seen some positively icy moments among commissioners. Why is there such tension, and what can you do to influence that tone?
You know, every 2 years, there's an election. And with that election, you're going to see new faces, in most cases, come to your board. My first 2 years, I say, were my best 2 years, serving with Jason Thompson and Ted Davis and Barbara Greer and Bill Castor. And we all had a really, really good working relationship. There was never much talk about partisanship. We just got the work done. Anything that I needed to have happen, I found the ability to work with them and accomplish those goals. Became chair my third year on the board, on a majority Republican board. And we never really talked about the partisan aspect of things, as I find that most of the issues that we deal with at this level really aren't Republican or Democrat issues, they're people issues. Dealing with the H1N1 flu when it came to our community, even with this pandemic, definitely it's not a partisan issue, but it's really about how do we protect and take care of our people in our community. And I think sometimes we get lost into the politics of things. And, you know, so my prayer at every meeting and prior to every meeting is simply asking the Lord to give me godly wisdom and the spirit of discernment to know what to say, when to say, and how to say it, when to speak and when not to speak. And through that, I'm able to, you know, really think about what I'm saying and be intentional about the thoughts that I bring forward. You know, working and making sure that I'm operating in good emotional intelligence to me is always important, as I recognize that people are watching. Young boys and girls are watching. People in our community are watching and hold you accountable. And more importantly, my wife and my children hold me accountable for the things that I say and the things that I do. And so I try to bring that same spirit to our board. I try to bring that sense of calm in the midst of all that's going on. And it's a challenge, but I try to rise to that challenge and to make sure that everyone recognizes, as I said before, that nothing that we do on our board is eternal. And my goal is to make sure that I'm, you know, showing the trueness of who I am at all times.
It's not just the Board of Commissioners that's seen some tumult. The Board of Education has also seen some difficult times and some really strained conversations. They have struggled to work together. Some community members have raised questions about whether allegations of child sexual abuse were mishandled, putting the protection of the school district above the protection of actual children. How is the Board of Education functioning in your view, and what influence do you have over that body as a county commissioner?
We have very little influence over the decisions that they make. With the way the General Assembly has set rules and laws up in place, we must fund them to a certain level. Right now we're funding them above and beyond what the state mandates that we fund them, but we have no oversight into how they spend those dollars. We're trying to tighten up our budget this year and allocate dollars in terms of function and purpose where they can't go outside of those function and purposes for those dollars, but we really can't dictate what they do with those resources, nor can we dictate the policy that they set. The only thing that we can really can control is the amount of funds that we give to them to run their organization. And the challenges you have there is that if you start to reduce funding to get the board to act the way you want them to act, who are you really hurting? And for me, it's going to be the children that are going to end up not getting the things that they need. So, you know, as we dealt with this last budget, we eventually increased some funding to the school system, recognizing again that our goal is really to help our youth and our community. At the same time, we do have dialogue with the board members and have conversations with them about things that we see that are important, and hopefully they will implement some of the changes that we see. You know, we funded pre-K classrooms, and we actually increased funding for those this past year. And those things are outside of our daily allocation for each student in the schools to make sure that we're helping those younger kids come in to be prepared, you know, as they, you know, go into the school system in first grade.
Commissioner Jonathan Barfield, you've been involved in civic affairs pretty extensively, including your work on the Blue Ribbon Commission. What do you think working with that nonprofit has allowed you to see that perhaps other members of the population or folks who are middle class here don't really see or understand?
I think I see kids that are seeing hope. You know, when I ran for my second term on the Board of County Commissioners, I was volunteering periodically at Mary C. Williams Elementary School. The guidance counselor there had me come in and speak to about 7 to 10 boys and girls that were sometimes getting themselves in a little bit of trouble, but she wanted me to come in and just kind of be a mentor to them. And so I would come in during the breakfast time and kind of talk to these kids and just spend some quality time with them and let them ask me questions. I would talk to them about things that I was dealing with in politics and explain what my role was. Well, fast forward a few years later, one young man was a part of the Blue Ribbon Commission's summer youth program. It was called Building Educated Leaders for Life. And we had that at DC Virgo, and I spoke at their graduation. But prior to that, when I took my oath of office for my second term, I invited kids from that group from Mary C. Williams to come. Well, this young man and his mother showed up, and she went and bought him a new outfit, bought herself a new dress. And I actually asked him to stand with me and my family as I took my oath of office. And at that time, I was chairman of the board, so I asked him to go ahead and sit in the chairman's seat. And so he's sitting in the chairman's seat. And next thing you know, I'm in the room off to the side, and you hear the gavel being, you know, on the table. And Chris Coudray was in a panic and said, well, nothing can start until the real chairman gets there. But this young man was having a good time sitting in the chairman's seat. So when I took my oath of office, I had him standing right there with me and my family just to show him what it was like to be in that position. But fast forward to several years later, I'm at this graduation for this leadership portion of the BRC, and here he is in this leadership class. And I literally teared up seeing a young boy that was on the margins of getting in trouble in school, but now part of a leadership class with the BRC and learning about leadership skills. For me, it came full circle. And, you know, so again, for me, seeing these young boys and girls with hope, right down to the summer jobs program and giving young boys and girls the valuable experience of going into an office place or business and actually having a summer job and getting paid for that work. We've had some children that have actually, or kids, boys and girls, have actually gone to these summer jobs and been offered permanent employment or part-time employment after school because of their great work ethic. But again, for me, it's been able to expose these young children or young students, you know, to other things that will open and broaden their horizons.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Today, our focus is New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. 5 members serve staggered 4-year terms. This year, 3 seats are open. Only 1 incumbent is running for re-election. That's Jonathan Barfield with me now. The county board is, and you are in the midst of this, working to define the terms of the sale of New Hanover Regional Medical Center to Novant. Also, defining power structures is part of that, how appointments are made to boards, how the community foundation will be structured. How would you like to see it structured? And what is the argument right now over going one way versus the other? Can you kind of put that in clear terms?
Well, what's been laid out to us is, in terms of the foundation itself, if the county were to have the majority of the appointees to the board, what would fall under the local government commission's guidelines for how we would actually invest those dollars. And they would pretty much really take over that investment strategy. You'd have a board in place, but that board really wouldn't make any real decisions. The local government commission would actually make those decisions for us. And their strategy is somewhat conservative versus hiring a private money manager that can actually invest those resources in different areas that will give you a much greater return. At the end of the day, you're looking at roughly a yield of maybe $50 million a year off of the principal coming into the county every year with $1.2 billion in the bank. Working through the LGC, you're probably looking at roughly $30 million a year. So you're looking at about a $20 plus million deficit by having the Board of Commissioners having the majority of the appointments. And so the attorneys advise that it would be best for the hospital board to have seven members and the Board of Commissioners have six members or five and six, whatever that number is, which would put us in the minority position, but it would give the organization itself the ability to actually hire someone that could actually invest those dollars and yield a greater return. And just knowing the needs that we have in our community are so great, whether it's substance abuse and mental health issues, whether it's putting more funding into our schools or roads, there's so many needs here that I just couldn't see us not bringing in as much money as we can if the hospital is sold. And many people think it's already sold, but that vote hasn't happened yet. There'll be a public hearing later in the month of September where the public can come in again and speak to their concerns about pros or cons about the hospital sale. And then a vote would happen in October to either sell or not sell the hospital. But there's not been a vote to sell the hospital yet. It's moving forward with each step of the process. And for me, I've voted for each step so that I can be fully informed. So at the end of the day, I can make an informed decision on what I think is right for our community.
And at this point, what I hear you saying is that you do think it would be better for the foundation to not be overseen by the local government commission so that you can get that greater return on investment.
That's exactly what I'm saying. We're talking about $20 million deficit forever. That compounds pretty quick. And when you see the needs in our community, the fact that we need to build a new junior high school, typically your high school is going to run you roughly $40 million to build. Where will those dollars come from? We can find other alternatives to invest in public education, to invest again in mental health disorders and substance use disorders in our community, to invest in our youth and other nonprofits in our community and really help. To me, that it's a no-brainer.
You've served on the Affordable Housing Coalition. Understanding that the definition of affordable housing includes a pretty broad range of incomes, how do you define it and how do we create more of it in the Cape Fear region?
You know, affordable housing is housing that does not exceed 30% of your income, including your utilities. So anyone that's in a home, no matter what income you have, to where you're expending more than 30% of your income for the mortgage and for utilities, your cost burden when it comes to housing. You know, for me, we just had a vote this past week at our meeting to approve some single family homes off of MLK Parkway and College Road, priced around the 250 range. And my comment then was, housing affordability to me is so important in this community for sure. How do we keep the millennials, you know, and the younger generation staying here when housing affordability is so out of reach for what their salaries are? When you look at Castle Branch, when they built their new building here several years ago and brought in an additional 400 employees, they're paying somewhere in the mid-30s to $45,000 a year. And when you have those types of jobs, you know, what can most people afford to buy in New Hanover County? And we see so many people going beyond our county to Pender County and to Brunswick County, buying homes because of housing affordability. And so for me, making sure that we can keep that younger population here when they graduate from UNCW, from Cape Fear Community College, that they can stay and live in a community that they grew up in and not go to a Charlotte, to a Raleigh, to a Durham, to an Atlanta, to a DC, where you see, you know, higher salaries and more affordable housing there. You know, I want to keep my young people here, my children in this community, but, you know, with house prices continuing to go up, is going to be a challenge for this region for sure.
Okay, just a minute or so left. You recently voted to change the name of Hugh McRae Park to Longleaf Park. And of course, opponents of that change and other changes like it say that people are losing their minds, erasing history, engaging in cancel culture. The city of Wilmington, though, has adopted the Rise Together initiative to foster equity, diversity, and civic inclusion. What is the work that you believe this region and the County Board of Commissioners still needs to do on this front? How can you move the ball down the field on racial reconciliation as a commissioner?
You know, we just created a new department. We have a chief diversity and equity officer, really looking at the county internally and externally in how do we, number one, educate our employees on implicit bias, on cultural competency. You know, how do we serve the public in a greater capacity when it comes to our hiring practices? You know, are we sending the right people through? Are we giving everyone the opportunity to be exposed to jobs that are open in county government? When it comes to our sheriff's department, you know, work with those individuals.
And do that. I'm sorry, we are out of time, and that is this edition of the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Jonathan Barfield, Democratic incumbent on New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks. No, are we? I was just getting started.
Thanks also to Republican candidates Deb Hayes and Bill Rivenbark. One-stop voting begins October 15th. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.